Welcome to the Lucas Miles Show. I'm your host, Lucas Miles. Hello and welcome to the Lucas Miles Show. I'm your host, Lucas Miles, and a happy 2019 to all of our listeners. Hope you're having a fabulous year because I have a fabulous episode for you today. My friend Lance Brown is joining me today. He's a partner and GM of Dream Records. He's been on the Christian music scene for approximately 20 years, and he is really responsible for the success of many of the artists, both older and up and coming, that you know and love. And he's worked with teams of Grammy-nominated professionals across the board to produce some of the best Christian music on the planet. Lance regularly has hits at the top of the charts. And today he breaks down with us really what goes into making a hit album. It's some pretty interesting stuff. Shares a lot about the Christian music world. Lance is also a multitasking guru, which I always love talking to people like that because I do a lot of things myself and I'm always looking for tips. I don't know about you, but I think you might find a few in this episode. But before we go to our interview, let me tell you a little bit about our sponsor this week. It's Faith Social. I have just absolutely loved connecting with the guys over at Faith Social. I regularly use my profile there. If you love social media, but you hate all the junk that you find on these other platforms, you are just going to thoroughly enjoy belonging to the Faith Social network. So hop over there, faithsocial.com, create a profile, and make sure and join me on Thursday nights for my live Bible study. We're calling it VBS, Virtual Bible Study with Lucas Miles, teaching through the book of James at 9 p.m. Eastern time. So find my account. You can add me there as a friend. And on Thursdays, you can join me live and watch the study and study along through the book of James with me. I also recently stumbled into the Faith Social shop. And, you know, in the past, it was so hard to find a cool or hip Christian t-shirt or sweatshirt that I actually would see myself wearing in public. And they have some really awesome designs on this. So if you're looking for maybe a gift for somebody or something to way to wear your faith, literally on your sleeve, then check out Faith Social's shop. My favorite shirt that I'm seeing right here is the Adult Stacked Faith logo short sleeve tee. So I'm going to have to grab me one of those. Some really cool products, all available at faithsocial.com. Create a profile. Join me on Thursday nights. You're going to love it. And now my guest, Lance Brown. Lance Brown, welcome to the Lucas Miles Show.
It's good to be with you, Lucas.
Hey, I was just trying to think about this. I can't remember when we first connected. It had to have been like 2011, 2012, but that's a total guess. I don't know if that sounds right or not, but
that sounds about right.
We connected in the past. I was helping out an artist that I was working with at the time. And you were still in a similar position that you are now as general manager of Dream Records. Is that correct?
Yeah. We were back in 2011. We had a company that we still call today Dream Label Group, which essentially is the umbrella corporation for all of the subsets, Dream Records and Dream Worship at the time. But we've expanded to a multitude of labels after that.
Now, when most people think of Christian music, they probably more often think of Nashville rather than Los Angeles. So how did that happen? And sure. how did Dream Label end up in LA?
Sure. So back in 2008, a gentleman by the name of Dave Hanley was leading worship at the Dream Center here in Los Angeles. After many years of leading worship, they had a group called Press Play. That group wanted to record sort of their first record, and they were kind of shopping it around to the Nashville labels, like you mentioned, and realized that it would probably be a better suit to them in order to get the most out of it, to just kind of self-release. So there was a member within the church that volunteered meeting with them, who worked at Universal. And at the time, Universal was starting a Christian music division in partnership, which was with the then called EMI Christian Music Group, which is now called Capital Christian Music Group. Well, they did a deal for 3 years, and Press Play released their first record. And Dave was kind of in the inner workings of all that, recorded it, you know, helped market it. The church got behind it. They sold 12,000 units their first week, got a Dove Award nomination and a number one single on the Christian Billboard Hot ACCHR chart. And Dave realized that this was something that God was probably trying to tell him, do more of this. So after that, he just decided that it would make more sense to just start releasing more products. And being in LA, was a difference right away because we had the freedom to sort of sign whatever we wanted. I came on board about 6 months after that. I had, been managing an artist, and that artist wanted to have me negotiate a deal with Dream. And so I did that. And I had come from a very, rich sort of management background in the secular industry. And, I'd negotiated the deal, got a very good deal for him, not so good for Dream, but when he was signed, yeah, when he was signed, Dave, you know, gave me a ring and said, would you be interested in working in Dream? So that's kind of how we get the whole thing started.
So if you can out-negotiate him, then there might be a job offer. That's kind of where this goes.
I think Dave thought that it would be much better to have me on his team.
That's awesome.
Than on the opposing side.
Now, what was that jump like for you going? Yeah, excuse me. What was that jump like for you going from the secular music world to, you know, all of a sudden now a Christian label?
Well, I've always been a student of the music industry as a whole. And I, in the secular industry, I had started at a management company after I graduated college. And I had I had interned first at Capitol Records, ironically. But I also interned at a management company that had a lot of legacy artists, artists that would be considered, you know, like from the 80s and 90s, from the 70s as well. So like the Bee Gees, the Go-Go's, Motley Crue, you know, and just artists that you would call legacy mm-hmm. artists. I learned a lot from that. I realized rather quickly that I had a very strong passion for the business because I wanted to know everything. And the realization of not knowing something made me hungrier because I wanted to learn it. And so I would read and study and just learn the aspects of it. And so from there, you know, being a young kid, I realized that, I was a little too overconfident looking back at it. I said, well, I can, do this on my own. I walked right into the owner of the management company's office and said, there's a new crop of artists. They're young. They're definitely going to be up and coming. I think they're going to be big. I'm going to be meeting with one of them at the time. And we started from there. The manager kind of looked at me and said, there's no chance that I would ever do that. That's not my vision, you know, in a sense. So I stayed there for another 6 months. And then I opened up my own management company. It was called One Moment Management. And, I just started picking up artists. The first thing I wanted to do was just apply myself. So I grabbed an artist on Tooth and Nail Records. I grabbed an artist on a record company called Epitaph Records and just kind of started from there. I also signed a young artist, a group of kids, and then applied myself on the strategies of how to get them to get signed. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of how it all kicked off. Within about 3 years, I had about 25 clients, a business partner, 4 managers underneath as day-to-day managers. And I was doing write-ups in Alternative Press Magazine for an editorial that I was doing. And I was getting drafted by other management companies. I was getting written up in trade publications about a kid, essentially, who was doing what he was doing. And it was a great experience. And so I did that for about 8 years. And when I had met Dave over at Dream, I had actually just gotten rid of the management company. One realization I had on my heart was, you know, getting clients, working hard, being passionate about this business has never been an issue with me. But I did have one issue with secular business, and that was is that my sort of heart for people, and I didn't know how to articulate it at the time, but I wasn't having fun with the artist per se as much as I would like. Mm-hmm. I didn't necessarily see eye to eye on the moral spectrum with them. And so that was a problem for me. And I didn't know how to articulate it at the time, but I knew it was an issue. And so I left the company, essentially dispersed the whole thing. Most of those artists ended up at major management companies. Some of the artists broke up. And that was my legacy as I left. I had no intention of meeting Dave. I had no intention of getting back in the industry. So when Dave said he had a Christian record company, I didn't know anything about the business. No idea who the labels were. I thought Tooth & Nail was a Christian label.
Was that immediately intriguing to you, or did it kind of cause you to go, I don't know if this is for me? You know, I mean, how long did you have to think about that?
Well, just like how I was at the management company, my first thought was, oh, I don't know this side of the business. I need to know it. That's just how my brain has always worked. If I don't know something, I would just love to learn it and apply myself, which is very valuable today in my line of work because of the nature of how Dream is set up today from a day-to-day perspective and all of the multifacets that I have to be for a lot of people. But I enjoy it.
So let's go. Let's go there in that changing. Because I mean, this industry, and you know, you and I have a lot of mutual friends. This industry has been transformed for various reasons. You know, from the CD to streaming. You know, shift that's happened and everything else. I mean, how have you guys really positioned yourselves, and maybe how have you positioned yourself individually? To, you know, I know you wear a lot of hats, which is one thing I like about you because I can relate to that, but I think you're just a real expert at that. So talk to me about some of those shifts and how you kind of handle that multitasking aspect to this business.
Sure. So when I first got started in this business, you know, it was about selling the CD, going to Best Buy, Target, Walmart, you know, these types of things. It was all about physical retail. And then trying to figure out a way to sell that through touring and whatnot. Much different than today, the physical retail business, while still around, isn't a bigger priority than it was back then. People consume music on a variety of different issues or a variety of different ways. And so my goal was to just learn about that as it was transitioning. And so, you know, I believe personally that my personal way of consuming music is not the representation of everybody's way of consuming music. And so my job is just to understand where everybody is on the spectrum and just make sure that those avenues are available for them to, you know, discover new music, discover music that has been around for a while over here at Dream. And then ultimately just make sure that, you know, we're catering to their experience in a way that is positive and embracing and really speaks to them. So
do you think it's been, and you know, obviously I know you're, you know, in this business, it's a, you know, the Christian music business is small enough that you know a lot or have friendly relationships with a lot of the other labels and their executives, but you know, without kind of pointing fingers at anybody particularly, do you think Dream's been able to be a little bit more nimble in that shifting market than maybe some of the legacy players out there, just because of the youth, if you will, of the company and, you know, just maybe thinking outside of the box with that?
Absolutely. I mean, when we first got started, I realized rather quickly that I wasn't going to be working with the artists, obviously, on the other labels, even if they had finished their deals, let's just say, or fulfilled their agreements, that I still wasn't going to work with them. I think our vision right away was, if we're going to survive as a company, we're just going to create our own thing. And that in an ever-evolving sort of music culture, that we were going to mold the culture of the industry from an LA perspective, and we were going to find artists that we just genuinely loved. We didn't kind of look at what Nashville was doing. So there was a lot of artists that were sort of circling all around Nashville and showcasing and doing all those things that maybe we weren't aware of at the time. But it just wasn't maybe something we would have been interested in either. We sort of discovered things based on two principles. One is that if we believe the content speaks to people, it's a genuine piece of art, we want to talk to them. But more importantly, we want to know who they are. Are they going to be a part of our family? Can I get along with them outside of the music business? To me, coming from the secular side and my sort of idea that I didn't really like necessarily, I mean, I got along with everybody, but it just something was missing. I wanted to fulfill that in my next sort of business venture. But the Christian industry, whether it was a Christian industry or the secular industry, I just needed to make sure that I saw eye to eye. And so that is probably the most important thing is, are they good people? Do they follow God's law? Are they believers in Jesus? You know, we start at that point because I believe that there's a lot of great artists right now that are undiscovered, that, you know, maybe getting into a situation where they're going to circulate around Nashville. We may not know about them, but that's okay for us because there's plenty of great art out there. And so my mind is just focused on, where can I find just people that I just see eye to eye on? Because I know that that will instill a level of passion that is beyond anything for me. And this is what drives the company. It's a real passion for the people that is in partnership with.
And now, the motivational moment of the week. Have you sinned, fallen short, maybe completely missed the mark? I want you to know that it's never too late. God is gracious, and He extends relationship based upon His loving kindness and not our perfection. When you falter, run to Him, not away. And now, back to our show. You know, and that's one thing I find is that in, you know, maybe the greater nation's mindset or the greater Christian world's mindset in the U.S., I tend to hear a lot of people kind of dogging on, you know, L.A. as, you know, kind of that Hollywood hell in a handbasket sort of mindset. But, you know, one thing I love that I found in you guys and so many in L.A., I mean, some of my favorite churches in the country are in Los Angeles. Some of the best fellowship I've had with believers has been in the LA, you know, greater LA area. And there's so much happening there from a faith standpoint that I think a lot of times just doesn't get seen or noticed the way that, or maybe just people aren't aware of it as much as it's actually happening. You know, how have you found kind of that faith culture, you know, on the West Coast, in a place that's, you know, commonly viewed, maybe as, you know, extreme left leaning or these sort of things. I mean, what's your experience been there?
Well, first off, I like the idea that it's undercover.
Yeah.
I actually love that. From a business perspective, I can sort of go talk to artists well before the other labels can. That's the thing that I've experienced recently, been in the last couple of years. Well, I'll be talking to artists well before the other labels are. And the reason is because I have this mindset where every time I wake up in the morning, I'm going to find a new artist. I put it in my calendar, actually, as a reminder.
That's interesting.
Listen to something new. Yeah. Like I want to find, great people to work with that have great content. But LA specifically, there's certainly a dynamic. I mean, politically, it's much more left leaning here. Our tax rate is, just crazy. And we feel it every time we do our tax returns.
It's the sunshine tax. That's what that is.
Yeah. We do have, unfortunately, an incredible homeless population here. And in order to sort of curb that, I sort of serve at my church every Tuesday. I'll be doing it tonight where I'll, you know, help feed the homeless and whatnot. So there's that sort of, my part is I'm hoping is being fulfilled. I obviously want to do more, but, from a faith perspective, this is a great place to be because every major church right now, at least, is either considering or is already here. So, you know, it's a great place to be. I mean, Hillsong's here. Pastor Judah Smith is here, who's a great pastor. I love Pastor Judah Smith.
I used to go out to his meetings at the Montage when they were first starting up. On Wednesday nights, when I was going out there regularly as I was.
Yeah. And, you know, Hillsong is here, like I said. You know, still have the Dream Center here. You have other churches that have been here for a long time. But I do see this shift. You know, I believe even Bethel's coming down here. If they haven't been here.
Yeah, of course, Greg Laurie, you know, is super, super prominent in the area and all the Calvary chapels and those. I mean, yeah, there's just a really rich church culture, you know, that's developed in LA that, you know, unless you're traveled there or really in tune with the Christian market, or church, you know, church leadership, you might not know it, but I think that you're right. I think that there's probably some advantages in being able to be under the radar a little bit. I always have a joke that, you know, because, you know, I do kind of the filmmaker thing and sort of the, problem solver guy for a lot of different industries, as well as hosting my show and pastoring. If I'm on an airplane and if I want to take a nap, I always tell people I'm a pastor because they usually stop talking to me. But if I tell them I'm a filmmaker or something like that, you know, then they'll talk. So right. I love using these other things that I do as a way to get to the gospel in a unique way and be able to reach people that I think a lot of the church world wouldn't normally be able to get to. And I see you doing those same things.
Well, I believe in Los Angeles, it can be, just as authentic as it can be anywhere else. And so, you know, when you walk down the street here, you know, I mean, I'm the same person, you know, in LA as I am in any other state.
Exactly.
So to me, it doesn't matter, you know, but I think that, Jesus is prevalent here. Absolutely.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Let's talk a little bit more about Lance Brown, the greater person that you are in terms of you have this rich history here as an executive in the music world, but you're also branching out and doing some other things with the free time, you know, that you can find. I have to assume that you're a master of your calendar, but talk to me about some of the other things you're working on. I know doing some speaking and things like that.
Yeah. So, I love educating the artists that are signed here. I find that they like it too. I always, tend to want to explain and then explain the explanation and even the history as to why things are getting done. I have an artist that I'm about to sign, that wanted a very detailed response to, the nature of radio today. And so I gave that to her. I gave her the history, gave her why it makes sense, gave her stats, gave her numbers. I really, love educating. I always have had that in me. I've always felt that it was a gift to have it and then you need to give it. And so, I was asked, a few years ago to start speaking, and just sharing some of the knowledge to, young students, college students. And initially I was a little timid on it because I am not, the best speaker, on the planet by any means. And I knew rather quickly that I would have to sort of get up and over a confidence on being in front of a bunch of people. But I did. And I had a friend of mine who invited me out to Arizona Christian University, and, I spoke to, some young worship leaders, who were attending over there, and, gave about a 45-minute speech. And, you know, I sort of talked to God about this. I said, well, you know, if you feel like that's something I need to do, then let's do it. Let's just, you know, blow the roof off of it and, you know, kick the doors wide open, not creak it, you know? And so I was immediately contacted by an agent, I'm now in talks with a bunch of different colleges now to speak. My intention really is just to give them perspective why things are the way they are, why our brains function differently from person to person, why art is from God and how that comes, and then just utilizing best practices in today's climate while giving them a history of how we got there. Most people don't know that there's about 45 revenue streams in this business.
Wow.
So I like to walk people through that.
And there used to be like 11. There used to be like 11. Like, it's just, I can't imagine. I can only imagine that that's changed and expanded so much and, you know, having to stay. I mean, it's like every day you have a new thing to get current on, I would imagine, in this business.
Yeah. Dream's focus is really, on about 4 or 5 of those revenue streams. That's it. But most people, they're shocked. When they hear those words, like, how many revenue streams, you know, and most artists are only focused on the ones that I'm signing on, but I have to share with them that, you know, you can go beyond those things. You know, what I do is more of a staple to sort of brand everything to get you into the other ones, but by no means ignore those.
Right.
And so, you know, it's an overall sort of, experience that I like to educate. I don't know where it will lead. But you know, if it just means that I'll speak occasionally here and there to a college, then so be it. If it turns into a conference of some sort, then great. I am going to be giving a keynote speech in front of all of the local church body in Phoenix, that I'll be talking about similar things like this, some best practices for all their worship leaders. But, you know, I'm sort of letting God lead that, and just hoping that if he wants me to, you know, be in New York or Washington or wherever, really, that I'll recognize that and go educate. So
I love it. No, that's incredible. You're wearing a lot of hats, and I always, because this is just a helpful thing for me, this is my selfish question here, because I always want to get better at what I do. What are some things that you kind of intentionally build into your either your day or your week to just ensure that you're able to kind of do everything that you do well?
Sure. Yeah. Well, let me take you through a normal experience of actually how I sign an artist and kind of where the end goal is. And I'll say that through that week. So, usually on Mondays and Fridays, I'm looking for new artists. Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays too, but not as much. My time is a lot more sort of concentrated for other marketing initiatives, but usually Monday and Friday, I'll kind of peek around and see if there's anything out there. I'll go to all the various streaming ports, friends, maybe you're sending me emails, and, I'll look for it. So say hypothetically, I find that artist. I get on the phone with them. As you know, the first thought in my brain is, do I get along with them? Eye to eye on vision. You know, can they be a part of a family here? And then if we do get to the point where we sign them, I'll send a deal memo. We'll negotiate with attorneys. I'll do that experience with them. I'll contract the long form as well. So I'll draft that up. They then negotiate further. We get to a place where we get on the phone a multitude of times, lawyers, managers, artists, all wanting to chat about various points. They will do that with me. Once they're signed, we then go through the process of sending out a press release, of which we have a really nice database for. We'll send out the actual press blast with their approval, announcing that they are a part of our roster. I'll then update our website with the, you know, all of the content, photo, bio, social media links, website, you know, et cetera. Then once that's all done, then we get to work. So I will more than likely be talking to producers. If they don't have a producer yet, more than likely I'll connect them, start doing co-writes, with that producer or with somebody else first, and then go connect them to the producer. If they need a guest vocalist, a lot of the artists on our roster are more than willing to trade services. So we sort of interconnect that world with the new artist. Then when we get that first track out, let's just say hypothetically, we set the release date with them. I then call Capitol. We then set up a full-on production where I have to input all of this metadata on what is called a white sheet. I go through the process of working with the mastering plant to create a PQ sheet. We get the WAV file done. We upload it all. I do all of that experience outside of the mastering itself. And then after we've set the release date, I start calling people. I'll call all my friends at Apple Music, Amazon, Spotify, et cetera. We'll talk to YouTube. We'll talk to bloggers. We'll talk to all of the sort of websites that can be helpful in kind of carrying the message out. If it's a radio single, we then set it up with Play MPE. We set an ad date. That whole experience kind of comes through me. And then after that, we set the ad date and we push it out. Song comes out. Radio is starting to take hold. Press releases are out. Hopefully playlisting is happening upon all of that going out at the same time. And then I start reporting week after week with the artists. Here's where your stream's at. Here's where your radio's at. Here's all the websites that are reporting you. Here's all the interviews. Here's all the reviews. And that's sort of the start to that process. Now, radio specifically is done on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. So we're all making the same phone calls, the same people, and convincing them that that product needs to be in their playlist.
Like everybody listening
at the end of the day,
thought they were busy, just was like, oh, I guess I'm not that busy anymore.
And we also have a publishing company too as well. So I work with our administration department, and they help set up all of the publishing registrations. And, you know, after a year's worth of work, you hope you have millions of streams and number one radio singles and tons of press out there. You also hope you're accumulating enough income to justify for them and for us where it makes sense to keep them and keep working with them. But the idea really is just to keep branding. You know, and then there's extra things that just sort of materialize. You know, partnerships with PureFlix. You know, we've done 3 songs inspired / soundtracks for them. You know, all of our artists are on that. You know, we have a great partnership with YouVersion. You know, we'll do devotionals as part of a rollout of records. That's been a great partnership for us. You know, we have just various sort of things all out there, you know, and it really is custom. So my hat has to change constantly, because when you have Drome, which is our dance sort of EDM label, our new company, which we just started a couple weeks ago, called One Moment Records, which is inspiration from the One Moment Management Company, that is going to be sort of a hip hop label. We have Dream Records, which is sort of our flagship. You know, we have Dream Worship, which is the majority of worship leaders and churches all consolidated on that label. We have a gospel division called Dream Gospel. We have a Spanish division called Vision. We have a kids division called Dream Kids. And we have a special Hawaiian division called Dream Ohana, wow, which is in partnership with Tu'opo Oahu out there in Hawaii.
That's awesome.
So that sort of culminates the many hats I have to put on a day-to-day basis. So
very cool. No, I appreciate you breaking that down. I mean, we have a lot of artists and talent that listen to this, as well as various people working in all different facets of the media business, specifically faith media for a lot of them, you know, who are listeners. So I think that's going to be very interesting for them. Let me ask you this kind of as we have to prepare to close here, but there's a young artist out there who has this hopes and dreams of someday, you know, getting a record deal and kind of developing their career further. What sort of advice would you tell that person, or mindset, you know, would you encourage them to maybe adapt?
Go to church, get your heart right, make sure you're in line with God's vision. Walk that out every single day. When it comes to the art itself, just be good at it. I asked Bill Hearn, the then CEO of Capitol Label Group, Capitol Christian. He walked into a meeting that I was at, and it was in Nashville. We were just talking about all of our projects. So we just kind of came in and just sat down, and it was very clear that he was in the room, but nobody was saying anything because we were continuing to talk. But I sort of interrupted because he's sitting there right there. I said, "Bill, you know, hey, how you doing? It's nice to meet you. My name is Lance Brown. You know, I'm very appreciative of all the things you've done for our industry. You know, keep in mind, he's got, you know, about 45-50% of the market share at this
right
point, the entire Christian industry." And I said, "What's the secret to your success?" You know, his dad started EMI-CMG, you know, or Sparrow, and I guess it turned into EMI-CMG in their partnership. And here, Capitol is now Capitol after it got bought by Universal. And I'm asking the guy who's got almost 50% of the market share, like, what's the secret to your success? Expecting sort of a very complicated answer, I got the most simplest answer. And he said, "It's all about the song." And that's my
wow
thing I'd like to pass on today, is that it is all about the song. The business side takes care of itself. People recognize great art. And so for anybody that's like listening right now, be really focused on your art. Be the best person at creating it. People will find you, trust me. But don't get ahead of yourself and think, "I need to be discovered. I need to think about this and all this stuff." Just be really good at what you do and self-promote yourself. God will take care of the rest after that.
Love it. Great advice. My guest today is Lance Brown. He's GM of Dream Label Group and Dream Records. Check out some of their artists, bands like We Are Leo, Mass Anthem, and The Ruins. And I just encourage you to follow Lance. We'll have all of his social media handles and websites in our show notes. Lance, I want to thank you for being part of the program today.
Thank you very much for having me, Lucas.
Did you enjoy this episode? We'd love to hear your thoughts. Mention and tag us in a post on your favorite social media site, and we might just retweet or share it with our entire audience. And as always, you can find us on Twitter at Lucas Miles or on Instagram at Mr. Lucas Miles. That's M-R Lucas Miles. Thanks for listening.